would say a familiar story. I feel like all the, turn me down just a little bit, or a lot, I don't know. I know what I hear up here is a little bit different than what you hear up there or down there, so. I think a lot of the stories out of the Gospels are familiar, Luke chapter 12, we'll read the first three or four verses and then try and draw some. I'm sorry, starting in verse 16, we'll read three or four verses and then draw some thoughts from this. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. For there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And verse 19 says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these lessons throughout Scripture that teach us some values, teach us some principles. God, I pray that we would give attention to these things and learn from it and correct in our own heart and life where maybe we may, in our point of view, be slightly misguided. Lord, help us to have the same concerns and cares and affections as you would desire of us, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read this, this rich man here, as it says in verse 16, we would maybe in comparison to today would deem him successful. The Bible says, and he spake a parable. Now, it's kind of like saying a hypothetical situation here. He's telling a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. And he says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So we would look at these people and, you know, there's certain businessmen that have succeeded. They have their own podcasts, right? They write books. They tell you how to somehow replicate what they did. And they go on to do, and this guy may be similar. Maybe this guy in town was the guy that everybody wanted to be. This is the guy that who's had the biggest spot in the market. This is the guy whose house was the largest. This is the guy who stuff just looked nicer. Why? Because he had more stuff. Nothing wrong with being rich, but we see his motivation, we see his heart a little bit in the passage, and this rich man's plan was to do this. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I got so much stuff, I'm doing so well because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Now, as I read this passage again, I was startled by how many times the word I showed up. Me, my. No doubt he was successful. But as we know that you better give thanks to the Lord for the blessings of God, and that is not what he did. He had no thought of sharing. He had no thought of others. He was trying to, how do I make my self-worth higher? He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take down the barns that I have, and I'm going to build bigger barns. Why? As to establish higher fame, higher prestige, higher status, more stuff. He's like, I've done so well. Look at verse 19. He's having a conversation with himself. And I will say to my soul, soul? He's talking to himself. He's patting himself on the back. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You know what? You've done so well for yourself. Why don't you just take a break and just wallow in your glory and your prestige and your status? That was his plan. Now, we would look at that and go, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to work really hard for a number of years and then get to the point where I can just retire and not do anything and just sit around and drink lemonade and read books and go roller skating. I don't know. Say, that's what you want to do? No, I don't know. I don't know what people want to do when they retire. And we look at that and go, when we read the passage, you go, this guy's a fool. But then we look at our own life and go, wow, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do this guy's life. And God says, hey, hold on a second. You're putting a lot of effort into something temporal. This rich man's plan was for living his life only. My self-worth. I'm going to bump myself up. I'm going to be, I don't know, the top millionaire of Jerusalem, you know? I don't know the bracket. Fortune 500. Shekel 500. I don't know what it was called. I don't even know if they had something like that. What's the benefit? What's he doing? He's living the American dream. We got to be careful that we not get so duped with what the world and society says that success is, and we fail to recognize what God says success is. Wealth is not a measure of spirituality. But let's look at a couple things that maybe are indicators to us of where we could, yes, work hard and provide for our families, but yet set aside still some eternal rewards. Because this guy was all about the here and now. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. It says, But God said unto him, look what God said. Say, well, it's just a parable. It's just trying to, yeah, but this is what God thinks about his plan. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And he asked this question, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He said, you worked your whole life for all that stuff, but what you don't know is that tonight your life is going to expire and you're not going to be able to take any of it. And you've invested every resource, every moment, every dollar in prestige and status, and you're going to end with nothing because all of that stays here. And God says, you're a fool. See, riches without God is foolish. The rich man's plan was foolish. Now, am I saying that you shouldn't be wise with your money and invest and save and be able to? No, I'm not saying that. I think you should be a wise steward. I'm just saying, be careful. What we see here is it's all about him. There's no regard, there's no thanksgiving, there's no acknowledging of the Lord's hand in his life. And God says, hey, when you die and this is all over, all that stuff stays. He goes on to say this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich, look at now, toward God. He says, every single person that is so self-consumed and doesn't consider me and their finances and their ways is just as foolish as this man. Because riches without the Lord is foolish. Riches did no good upon his deathbed. He asked the question, who owns all this stuff now? Hey, did you notice in verse 19 who he's talking to? Himself. Know what that tells me? Ain't nobody around. He didn't say, and he called to his brother and said, what shall we do? He didn't say, and he called to his wife or he called to his children. Somehow, this man has separated himself from everybody else, self-satisfaction and self-proclamation, and made himself into something wonderful in his own kingdom and his own mind, and he's going to die alone with his stuff. And that's the end of it. Sure, he had great riches, but who owns it now? God asked that question. Then whose shall those things be? In verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. There's a lot more to this life than this stuff. There's a lot more to life. You know, we're renting a car to guarantee that when we leave tomorrow to go to New Jersey, we come back safely the next day. So we got a 2021 Chrysler Pacifica. Ooh, fancy. You hit a button and the seat moves. You hit a button and the steering wheel heats up. Hit another button and backside warms up a little bit. 70 degrees and we're heating our seats just because we can. It's great. It's awesome. It's fun. But if your whole life is about that, if your whole life is about that and not rich toward God, you've missed it. Because the life is much more than just this stuff. It's more than that set of keys. It's more than that car. It's more than our possessions. Because at the end of your life, all that stuff stays here. And there's a whole eternity awaiting. And the Lord warns. He says, number one, his plan was a foolish plan. Number two, there's riches without God, and that's not a good plan. So what should we do? Jump down to verse 31. He goes on to say these things. He reminds people of, he reminds us of how he feeds the ravens, how he takes care of the lilies. In verse 31, it says this. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. What was the man? What was the rich, as I would say, fool all consumed about? The temporal things right here. What does he say? He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. If all your life, all you're chasing after is another dollar, you got the wrong business plan. As a Christian, we know better. We're to rest in the Lord. We're to rest in Christ. Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, you want to do right with your money? You want to do right with your responsibilities, your resources, all of those things? Yeah, I'm going to satisfy myself. I'm going to get as much out of this world as I possibly can. You're wasting your life. It'll be a nice life here, but this is but a measure. Oh, you can't even, if I could, I can't even make it so small in comparison to eternity. Psalm 37. Look at this. Psalm 37. Look at verse 7. It says this. Psalm 37, 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, don't worry. Hey, you just rest in me. You trust me, and I will make your way prosper. In things that actually have value. It's funny, I don't know why, but every now and then on Facebook, I'll get ads. Remember the 80s. You know, show you like 80s like advertisements. I don't know why, it must know me. Like sometimes they do really good at advertisements, sometimes they're way off. Like they'll run ads for BMWs, and I'm like, you're wrong in your demographic. That's not what I'm shopping for. But every now and then they'll show like you could buy this thing, a computer or a calculator, you know, and back in the 70s and 80s, and how much it was and what it could do. Big old video camera, you know. sit on your shoulder. Boom box is, yeah. Mr. Bauman's, yeah, he knows. He's, yeah, that, exactly. Yeah, you need a wagon. You would need a wagon to bring it to the parties. And those things would cost hundreds of dollars. Where are those now? And that's just within a couple. Where was the car that you spent $40,000 on? 10 years, and say never. Okay, well, where's the car? $20,000. Eventually it wears out. Do you understand? Eventually these temporal things have an end. Favorite pair of, you know, sweater, or favorite dress, or favorite whatever. Eventually it comes to an end. God says, seek me first. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. And he says, I'll take care of everything else because you're investing in something that does not expire with your life. That was the problem with this man. He was so self-consumed that everything he put into expired with his life. And he had no investment in the next. We're talking about true riches tonight. The rich man's plan was a foolish plan because riches without God is no rich. You're not rich at all. So what should we do? We're to rest in him. And then look at 2 Corinthians. Before we go there, we'll look at this one last verse. Stay in Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 33. I'm not saying that you sow all that you have. That's what verse 33 says, though. Sow that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says, take what you have and invest it in the things that matter, into others. Remember to share Christ with others. It's good, this is not our missions conference, but it is good to give to missions. You know why? Because it helps knit our heart with things that God cares about. It's good to send money away. It's good to take trips. It's good to help people. Hey, if the Lord has blessed you in a way, hey, remember your responsibility. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll look at two passages, and then we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. True riches tonight. So why are you bringing this up now? Right now in society, they're throwing a lot of money around. And you may look back and you're looking at your account and go, look at how great I'm doing. I just want to remind you, don't forget investing in the things that matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. For this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and in utterance, and in knowledge, and all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, as you abound in everything, don't forget to share that. Hey, we've abounded in Christ. He's been very good to us. He has blessed us with things that no man can take away. Right now, someone could be at my house looting the whole place. They wouldn't get much, but they could have it. Well, they can't really have it. It's not theirs. You understand what I'm saying? They could take every single possession I have. But there's some things that nobody could steal, no one could rob, no one could tarnish, no one could alter. Why? Because God said, here, those things that you did for me, those things, that investment in spiritual things, I'm going to take those, I'm going to set those aside where nobody can get to, and you're going to reap the benefits of that for all eternity. Everything, it says, as you abound in everything, Psalm 126, and this will be the last verse. Psalm 126. Just don't forget what really is important. Psalm 126 and verse 5, it says this, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." One day, as we've been out handing out gospel tracts, witnessing to others, telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, giving of our time, our life, our moments, our resources, our money, whatever it is that we had, maybe actually possessions, as we're giving it to the cause of Christ, God says there's going to be a wave of things coming in with you. One day you're going to cross the from this life to the next, and you're going to bring something with you. Rejoicing. Hey, those nights you spent in tears over those lost people that you met, God says, I see that. And one day that's going to be a point of joy. Even within this room, I mean, come on, remember Jim Bauman praying for his brother. Calling him up in tears over his soul. That was worthwhile. That was a worthy investment. Who's getting your attention? Look at these barns I've built. Look at all this stuff I have. God says you're a fool. Can't take that. Let me tell you what's really important. A great reminder to us. It's easy as Americans to get caught up in the American dream. Remember, you're a Christian. And the Christian dream sometimes is a little different than the American dream. That's where we deviate. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. True riches tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.